Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 5th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Speaker of the House says it is possible to pass an energy bill before the end of the year. Farm bill debate is back on the docket in the Senate from Washington. And farm groups across the nation are calling for an override of the Bush administration's veto of WERDA. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in this half hour. And then I'll bring you up to date on some thinking about next year's acreage mix across the nation. The short version is, it's too early to say, but we'll hear a bit more from University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat at $7.85, up 6.5. The March 9 cents higher at $8.08.5 a bushel. July contract, your new cropped harvest month at $6.70.5, up a half for the day. December corn futures down a penny and 3/4 at $3.75.25. The March at $3.92.5, down 2. And May futures at $4.02.75 in the corn pit from Chicago, down 1.25 for the afternoon. Next year's December futures, 4.25 1/4. Dease corn, 2008, down 1/4 for the day. November soybeans, $10.05 3/4, up 4. January futures at $10.21, up 4 1/4. And the March at $10.36, up a nickel. November beans down 2 1/4 at $9.66 1/4 for next year. December bean meal at $2.76.90, up $2.90. December bean oil off 8 cents at $42.56, down 8 for the day. And from the Mercantile Exchange at the CME Group, December live cattle $95.85, $1.12.5 higher. February futures up $1.15 at $98.75 a hundredweight, and the November feeder cattle at $109.12.5, up 77.5. January futures $109.07.5, up $1.15. December lean hog futures 40 cents lower at $52.02.5 for the afternoon. From the outside markets, nearby December crude oil now trading at $94.31 a barrel, down $1.62. The CRB index at 349.86. That's down 115 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,503, down 91 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on this Monday is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace in Chicago.
Well, beans sort of went away from following the outside markets for most of the day. Beans were able to close a couple cents higher on the day, whereas crude oil's down $1.50 a barrel. The Dow's down over 80 points, and so beans were sort of doing their own thing in a sense. A little bit of pickup in bean demand. Talk of China maybe in for some more beans here. Also, too, we're seeing maybe a little drier forecast in the southern hemisphere. Technically, the bean market's at a sort of a consolidation area right now. The market needs to sort of get up and go here. If unable to sort of take out last week's highs, we could probably roll over here and correct a little bit. But the overall trend remains higher. Harvest is fairly well wrapped up. This afternoon's harvest progress reports expect showing about close to 90% of the beans out of the field. So anybody that needs to buy some beans here is going to have to bid up here short term to capture some supplies. Malaysia palm oil, world vegetable oil has remained somewhat firm. Corn market was sort of the weak link as it sort of was the one that got the short stick here, even though we had some good sales. We sold 120,000 tons of corn to Egypt. Export inspections were higher than expected. We shipped out over 56 million bushels, so we continue to push what we sold right out the door here. Corn, sort of the technical picture is like the beans. We've sort of been in a sideways congestion period here. Last week we were up one day, down, up, down, up, down, up. The trade sort of looked like that type of trade would materialize here this week. By starting out lower, there was quite a bit of buying and ideas that maybe we can recover here going into Tuesday. But the big event, bottom line, is going to be the USDA here at the end of the week. See what the USDA puts out for production. That's probably going to be the key. USDA sort of surprised everybody in the corn, especially on the October report, by coming in with a smaller production number. A lot of analytical studies show that that trend usually continues. A little smaller crop, the next report continues to follow that trend, so we'll see. But the private guys came out with some smaller estimates than what they did, but where the USDA comes out at, we'll know 7:30 Friday morning.
And let's turn our attention to South America very quickly and follow up on some of the comments you made on the beans. This afternoon, Brazil is reported now to be about 27% of the way completed with their planting. That is behind last year's pace substantially, about 3 weeks behind, in fact, but on pace with some recent trends in that nation. Will the marketplace pay much attention to Brazil prior to the time we get to this Friday's USDA crop production report, or is it still mostly about the United States of America?
Well, this week it'll probably be U.S. Northern Brazil was extremely dry, and they've received some rains, and we're just putting the crop in the ground. For South America to be a real major event weather-wise, which would be a market maker, would be after the first year once we get more of the crop out of the ground and growing. But that will be a major, major factor, because once we start to get a handle on the South American production, it has to be a record. It has to be a big crop, because if you look at our current supply-demand balance sheet, if they don't come through, we're going to have about 215 million bushels left over this marketing year. And when we go into next year, 2008, if you keep everything the same, you keep acres the same, yield the same, demand the same, we would have basically a negative 143 million bushels on the supply-demand balance sheet. Now, we know that's not going to happen, so there's going to be a lot of emphasis, a lot of pressure on the southern hemisphere to have a good crop, and it's going to be a lot of pressure on the bean market to stay higher here this winter and encourage at least 4 million acres. We need a minimum of 4 million acres to get us out of the hole. In reality, we need an extra 8 million acres for the trade to see a surplus for next year.
And tell me a little bit more about the corn, where U.S. ethanol plants have been turned to by the oil industry a bit. Blenders apparently liking the prices that they see.
Well, yeah, I mean, they backed away from it, let the market go to felt like zero. Ethanol got down this $1.50 area on a gallon. Ethanol's rallied about 20-30 cents here in the last few weeks. Nobody wanted to buy it on the way down, and all of a sudden it got to some very cheap levels, and everybody says, well, they can blend it after all. So it's cool to buy ethanol and blend it, especially with the crude oil taking off and the gasoline just taking off here. We've seen some renewed demand here in ethanol. So if you're wanting to be a speculator or watch the ethanol market, this $1.50 area is going to be a real important level to hold. As long as we hold that, we feel the trend's going to resume higher as we go into this winter.
You mentioned some of the numbers that were coming out from the primate analytical firms on the size of this year's U.S. corn crop. Of course, Informa released theirs last week. It was 13.193 billion on 153.3 bushels to the acre. That's still 125 million below USDA's last estimate. Actually, 125 million below Informa's last estimate, too. What do you think is actually out there at this point?
Well, it's kind of hard looking out our backdoored to imagine the USDA would drop the crop a whole lot further here. You know, we heard a lot of tremendous yields in the Central Belt. Now, Grant, you know, there's some outer regions or some southern regions that really struggled, and even far eastern belt that really struggled. We believe that the USDA comes in for lower numbers, going to be slightly lower. But you got to remember, these companies were way above of what the USDA was coming out with. They were over 200 million bushels more in the October report than what the USDA came out with. So they're sort of backing in and fine-tuning it. The bottom line, though, is the bottom line on the supply-demand balance sheet and what type of carryout we have, and see what the USDA does with that those ending stocks, because that's going to be real critical as we go into next year, whether or not we're going to keep this demand alive or not.
Are farmers asking often these days whether they should be making new crop corn sales?
Well, that's the big one. I know you turn back the clock here. It's a little aggressive getting price forward here in this 250-260 area. Now, basically, we're almost dang near $2 higher than that, especially in corn. Beans, the same thing. We're $3-4 higher. And when you start talking to a producer about marketing, their first comeback is, well, my input costs are going to be higher. Well, there's no question about that. Costs are higher clear across the board. But if you use, plug in your cash rent, use these higher prices for your inputs and also the higher prices you can receive right now, there are still some fairly good returns to be had. So from a strictly pure fundamental point of view, a strictly cash grain merchandising point of view, we feel that one needs to be somewhat priced between now and probably Thanksgiving on this A crop.
And would that go for soybeans as well?
We believe so. We fear that we're going to price a lot of this bullish news this winter as we so-called battle for acres. And once we get the acres bought, what type of bullish news is there going to be to drive the market higher? Well, it's going to have to be weather-driven. Whether it's the southern hemisphere or here in the U.S., that's a ways down the road to be determined. So we feel we need to use the positive news or the battle for acres to get priced up this winter.
Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grain Field Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. Speaking of weather-driven, a wind advisory is in effect for the northern third of Illinois and Indiana. That until 6 o'clock Central Time this evening, 7 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone. Once again, a wind advisory in effect for the northern third of Illinois and Indiana until 6 Central, 7 Eastern this evening. Tonight, Ed Kieser says it will be windy and colder in all sections of the two-state region. In northern Indiana, cloudy with some rain and a few snow showers. Elsewhere, variable cloudiness. Lows will range from 26 in northwestern Illinois to 36 in the far south. Tomorrow, Ed says windy and cold in all sections. In northern and eastern Indiana, cloudy, some snow and rain showers. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs will range from 38 in northwestern Illinois to around 50 in the far south. Tomorrow, wind speeds at 15 to 30 miles an hour. The extended forecast for the two-state region says a hard freeze expected in most locations Wednesday morning. Lake effect snow and rain showers will occur in northern and portions of east-central Indiana on into Wednesday. A few showers may occur in the northern areas on Thursday as milder air returns. Dave Dickey's here now. He'll take you all the way through today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says a revised energy bill could be ready to vote on, in her words, within a couple of weeks. The House passed energy legislation last January. The Senate did the same last June. Since then, a handful of senators have blocked the two bills from going to conference committee. Pelosi is hoping to maneuver around obstacles in the current House version and get a unified omnibus energy bill passed before the end of the year. At least 10 amendments are expected to be offered to the Senate version of the Farm Bill. Congressional observers believe it could take 2 weeks of floor debate to work through the list, which, among other things, includes the milk program, increasing conservation funding, crop insurance reform, the sugar program, the ag jobs bill, direct payments, and emergency food assistance. Farm groups across the nation are calling for override of President George Bush's veto of the Water Resources Development Act. Among the groups lobbying for the override, Upper Midwest Farm and Grain Elevators, the National Corn Growers Association, and the Illinois Farm Bureau. IFB President Philip Nelson says, in his words, the value of Illinois agricultural exports continues to climb, and we are in competition with South American producers. In that respect, our waterways are as vital of a transportation link as our roads or rails. I'm very disappointed in the president. Every animal shown at Illinois fairs next year must have a record showing where they were born. Don Johnson reports.
A premises identification number is now required by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. 4-H staffer Connie Upton says knowing where an animal came from can help if a disease crops up at a fair.
They can track it back to where it's all been, so they can check other livestock that were on the same premises to make sure that they didn't catch the illness.
The premises identification is the farm's geographic location. Upton says it's the first step in a national animal identification system. The next step will likely be an individual ID for each animal. Upton says beef cattle and sheep in Illinois 4-H clubs are already often implanted with a radio frequency ID tag that allows tracking of individual animals and is beginning to be a requirement for some meat exports. I'm Don Johnson.
A bipartisan bill calling for limits on carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions passed a global warming subcommittee. The bill would also set up carbon credits for polluters who may exceed the limits set by the legislation. And agriculture is expected to be a topic of discussion when President Bush meets with his French counterpart next week in Washington, D.C. The U.S. and France conflict on issues such as U.S. exports of subsidized biofuels, GMO crops, and U.S. unwillingness to support France's campaign to give higher international legal status to protect producers with certain place names such as Champagne. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of the daily ag programming as MP3 files that you can listen to directly from the site, or if you prefer, you can have them delivered automatically to your computer as a podcast. It's at willag.org. Well, up next, several well-respected marketing firms and even a USDA government official have speculated on how many acres of corn and soybeans U.S. farmers will plant next season. As you'll hear, a University of Illinois Extension ag economist thinks the official banter may be a bit early. The chief economist at USDA made some predictions about the size of next year's corn and soybean acreage during the month of October. It was an unusual event and one that was not taken lightly by the agency because of the potential impact on the marketplace. Still, the comments were made because Congress asked the question. USDA was not the only place that decided to take an early stab at predicting what farmers in the Midwest will do during next year's growing season. And the market pretty much shrugged off all the estimates, and that is likely a good thing, says University of Illinois Extension ag economist Darrell Good, because really, at the moment, it is not about North America, but rather about acres in South America.
And that, to me, is the big issue. How many acres did we buy in South America with these high prices as they were planting the crop? And again, I come back to the point, people are already making forecasts about what U.S. acreage is going to be without even knowing yet how many acres we need. And I know that farmers are making some decisions already about what they're going to plant next year, putting down fertilizer, buying seed, that type of thing. But as we saw in 2007, there's a lot of flexibility right through the planting season. So the perception is we need more bean acres. The question is, how hard is it going to be to get those? It'll be a function of how much more winter wheat did we plant? Did we take some acres that could have been planted to soybeans, put it in wheat? Do we have a surplus of corn going into 2008, or do we need more corn acres? That's going to determine how tough it is to get more soybean acres. So, again, the perception is prices have to stay high to make sure we plant more acres, and that should be very supportive right through the winter months, I think.
Supportive, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good, of both the price of soybeans and the price of corn. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
It's a Monday afternoon. We always talk with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County about the cash grain market. Wyatt Muse joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Are things fairly quiet there at the Andersons this afternoon?
I wish I could say that. Sometimes, with it being a Monday, I can say we were very busy around here. A lot of people squaring up, making sure all their paperwork is in place. Around here, I'd say the crop is definitely done for. But we're still getting a pretty fair amount of receipts coming out of Indiana. Trucks have been moving through the elevator all day, still picking up the ground pile and loading out some fertilizer.
And how quickly do you pick that ground pile up?
100,000 a day.
100,000 a day. So well, you'll be working on it for a while. You've got had up to, what, 4.2 million or something on
that? Yeah, that's right. Right at 6 weeks so worth of picking up.
You'll be picking that up for quite a while. Farmers, as they square away, been asking about making additional sales or just...
Yeah, we've had a lot of interest, especially on the new crop. We've been real toppy, seems to be, on the DEIS-8. That December 8 futures has hit 427. Three times this fall. Today, high of the day, 26.75. So the 08 corn not really wanting to surge any higher yet. Cash prices today, again, right at $4 off the combine next year. We've got a lot of people interested in that.
Yeah, at $4, I bet they are willing sellers. How about on the bean side?
Bean side, we haven't been buying quite as many. Up again today on the beans. Not as much selling going on there, I think, especially on the new crop. People are waiting to see how many acres they have, and if they do plant less beans, they're maybe less likely to make as large as sales.
If I remember correctly from your appearance on Commodity Week over the weekend, you're a willing seller of corn above $4. Or
oh, certainly. $10. Certainly. It's a great starting point, and I can say for a fact we've not had these good of prices this early in the marketing year ever.
What's the possibility things will fall out of bed between now and next year? Not great, I suppose?
It's a possibility. I mean, I think we always have to respect the fact that these high markets have not lasted for extended amount of times, any time, even back in the run through the 70s and different times we've had spikes in the market, they've never lasted. I think it would be foolish for us to imagine that we'll keep these prices forever, but it seems like we've got a lot of support behind them for now.
What are your bids for the day there at the Andersons?
Cash corn is $3.65, 08 off the combine, $4. Cash soybeans are $9.93. 08 beans, 931, and July delivery wheat, 630.
Appreciate you being with us.
Certainly. Have a good one.
You too. That's Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The federal government is urging a Supreme Court justice to deny former Illinois Governor George Ryan's request for bail while he appeals his corruption conviction. Justice John Paul Stevens had asked the government to reply in writing to a petition for bail filed with him by lawyers for Ryan and co-defendant Larry Warner last week. In his brief today, Solicitor General Paul Clement wrote that Ryan and Warner don't demonstrate the extraordinary circumstances that are required for bail in those cases. Ryan and Warner have been free on bond since their convictions in April of 2006, but a federal appeals court last month effectively canceled their bonds and told them to head for prison on Wednesday. A November 26 negotiating session will aim to head off a strike by University of Illinois Food Service and Building Service employees. A steward for Local 73 of the Service Employees International Union says it's the earliest time that a federal mediator is available to help the process along. But Marley Heath says the union is willing to hold off a strike call until at least then. A few weeks ago, workers voted to authorize a strike. They say the U of I isn't offering them enough money to keep up with other labor groups. Two Democratic primary races are taking shape in Champaign County on the last day that candidates can file for the February primary in Illinois. First-term state's attorney Julia Reitz is being challenged by Alfred Ivey III, an attorney from Urbana, and four people have now filed for one available seat in County Board District 6. Congressman John Shimkus has posted video on his website in which he announces his intention to seek re-election. Shimkus is seeking his seventh term in Congress. A state lawmaker from Antioch wants to amend state law to outlaw double-decker horse trailers. Joanne Osmond was moved to act by an accident last month in Lake County, Illinois, in which a truck packed with 59 horses flipped over. The crash killed at least 17 horses and injured dozens more. City council members will decide tonight whether neighborhoods can vote to form their own conservation districts. Those districts would help those areas preserve their historic character and guide city decisions on the styles of public improvements like streets and streetlights. But the city council members would still have to approve each district. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is WILL Urbana. On the line for this Monday is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I stuck my head in the door into the weather office and talked to Ed Kieser on my way in, and I said I was blaming it all on him, despite the fact that I know better. It's going to get cold, finally.
Well, Todd, it is November, so you should not be shaming the meteorologist here, this tends to be the period at this time of year. You get some wild variability in temperatures, and seen a strong cold front push across the Midwest here. And actually, temperatures are pretty close to normal, actually, today. They'll drop to a little bit below normal tomorrow, but then we warm right back up. So no need to worry about any extended stretches of cold as this current shot of what we call more normal or even slightly cool weather is very short-lived.
A strong cold front with a lot of wind to it, isn't it?
Yeah, which is typically the case when you have this strong of a cold front and the air mass pressure here that's now flowing eastward across the country. And combining that with lower pressure off to the east that's creating these very strong winds.
A big cold front, but I don't see much in the way of precipitation coming along with it.
Not at all. And you have relatively low dew points, and as a result, just limited precipitation across much of the Midwest. So shouldn't see anything in the way of problems from any kind of moisture standpoint. And that'll continue the dry trend that we've been in over the past couple of weeks.
Speaking of dry trends, that has been broken, I think, in South America. They started planting about 27% of the way done in Brazil now.
Yeah, Todd, we certainly have seen marked improvement in rainfall over the past week to 10 days across Brazil, and that will actually become even more important over the next couple of weeks as we see even further rain advancement of the start of the rainy season across Brazil, and numerous frontal systems will be advancing across the region, bringing opportunities for rainfall really across the entire belt. So they're finally seeing a significant improvement in soil moisture, and that's allowing more soybeans and corn to be planted.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about, speaking of corn, about Argentina and how they're progressing at this point.
Well, their planting is progressing in a timely manner. They have actually been receiving rainfall over the past few weeks, so they didn't have any of those October dryness issues such as what we saw up in Brazil. So currently we have adequate soil moisture reserves across much of Argentina, just the far western acreage, and that's in Cordoba province. That area saw about 50% of normal rainfall back in October, so that's the one area that could benefit by some more rain, but that is the only area of the entire belt that could use some additional precip. And overall, it looks like actually the pattern is becoming less active across the region. And so at the current time, that'll allow for rapid planting of corn across Argentina. But once we get later in the month, they'll obviously need a good boost in soil moisture here to continue to keep conditions in good shape.
Mark, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather on the web. Just go to WILLAG.org. That's WillAg.org. Have a great afternoon. Stay warm. I'm Todd Gleason.